Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility, where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up, because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Welcome, okay, everybody, and welcome to the Fight Mixer. We are here live with Mr. Matt and the one and only Mr. Gabe. What's going on, brother?
Another day.
Very good.
All right, it's night for you guys, but it's day for me. So,
lucky bastard. We are going to be joined.
Beautiful out here today, by the way. Absolutely gorgeous.
Must be nice, you know, being in California and everything, and compared to my ass in New Jersey.
It was probably like 87 with a nice breeze shooting through the day. Beautiful. Gorgeous.
Must be nice. It was relatively warm here.
Yeah, F that.
Well, I'm in New Jersey where everything sucks. And we are here live with UFC veteran, former King of Pancras, the one and only Nam Van Nam. What's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me on the show, guys. Yay.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on? And Gabe actually excuse me. Oh shit. So Gabe actually told me a funny story. Holy shit, I can't believe I was choking live in the air. I'm so sorry. Gabe was actually telling me a funny story that you guys actually know each other. And actually was telling me a funny story how you guys met. So Nam, do you remember how you met Gabe by chance?
I do.
Do you want to tell it? You want me to tell it?
Oh, you can tell it.
All right. So Nam is he's part of the Southern California MMA scene, and I we've been around each other quite a bit. We never really met, and so I can't remember what event we're at, but I come up to say hi. What was it?
The WC, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but I was talking to you. I came up to I don't know how we ended up talking, but you were speaking Vietnamese. And I the whole time I'm like, I'm pretty sure Nam speaks English. And then afterwards I talked to like three friends of mine. I'm like, does Nam not speak English? Like, he was speaking Vietnamese the whole time, and he had this friend of his that was trying to do as an interpreter. And everyone's like, no, Nam speaks English great. And I'm like, and I genuinely thought you were just being a jerk to me, like because you didn't want to talk to me. I was like, what a dick.
No. I was we were filming, and that's just a little gig we're doing, you know, just having a little fun.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That was the first.
I'm so sorry, Gabe.
No, man. Like, it was just it threw me off, and like dude, everyone talks about how cool Nam is, but he was speaking Vietnamese. It felt like you were just blowing me off. I'm like, oh, I mean, I guess that's what it's gonna do.
No, I'm so sorry. You're not like it, man. I love you, man.
No. We've talked about it multiple times before. It was just a fun story to bring up the Nam fam. I've known you for years and years. You're a staple of the Southern California MMA community, and a big part of the Vietnamese MMA community.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, I mean, I think we're the first Vietnamese fighter on The Ultimate Fighter.
Yes, and UFC.
Yeah. So I mean, that's pretty serious.
I think so, but thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's going on, Nam? Are you still fighting, boxing? What's going on with you?
I'm trying to. When COVID is over. You know, well, I still feel good. Let's see what happens with over, you know, so we're going to travel internationally. I want to still fight in Japan and stuff. Still do boxing matches, you know. I still feel good, so we'll see, you know.
So you want to go back to boxing and MMA?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, do the best I can, so my body cannot, you know, my body just gives up. I mean, I cannot do it anymore. You know, it's just max. I don't want any regrets, you know.
What about bare knuckle? Would you do bare knuckle?
Those guys call me. on Facebook, like, damn, are you ready for bare knuckle boxing? And I'm like, dude, that's scary stuff, man. I did not. You know, I've heard that boss those guys be a good amount of money for the first fight. You get a lot of money. I'm like, man, fun boss for fun. I like it, but for a boss, that does not look fun, man. I don't. But the money they give you, I still don't want to do it, man. It's not fun.
And you've had a long career too. I mean, you started in the early 2000s. I think 2001. You started, correct, man?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I was in high school still.
Holy shit, man. Were you were enrolled in jiu-jitsu when you started jiu-jitsu around 2000, correct? So it was like, yeah. Jesus Christ, man.
No.
What was that? I'm so sorry. I did not get that.
I didn't hear.
I was a white belt.
Oh.
You were a white belt when you first started MMA?
Yeah, I did karate. I was a kid. I was 92. I was 8 years old. And I started doing jiu-jitsu. In 2000, I started doing boxing around that same time. I was in high school, I was in college. Yeah, you know, so I always wanted to do mixed martial arts. So those are the steps I took.
Yeah, and you come from a very, like, you went to the traditional path of mixed martial arts. And you've always been a guy of respect and a guy that, like, is showcased on The Ultimate Fighter, where, you know, you were one of the most respectful guys in the history of The Ultimate Fighter. Any of the cast members, one of the most respectable guys that, like, you watch and you're like, wow, that guy is awesome. And, but, so, black belt in karate, black belt in I can't even pronounce it, vet something do.
The Vietnamese karate.
Vietnamese karate, yeah. And a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And so, like, you know, going down this route, I mean, you also have a school open as well, too, right? In California?
I do. Garden Grove, yeah.
Goddamn. In relation to Gabe, how far away are you guys? Like, that's where your gym is.
I think you're in Rancho Cucamonga, right? I think, like, an hour?
No. I don't live in Rancho Cucamonga. I live in Tarzana. I live in Valley Glen, which is by North Hollywood, but my school's in Tarzana.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know where Tarzana is.
what they call the valley, you know, like I mean, are you a Cobra Kai fan?
Who
Cobra Kai, the show?
Oh yeah. Oh wow, is that the Oakland area?
What did you say, Oakland?
Yeah, that was
that. No, like Reseda, Encino, Van Nuys.
Okay, above LA.
Yeah. On the other side of the hill.
That's far.
I mean, it's not, but it is. Like, I think realistically, it's probably maybe 50 miles, 60 miles. But in LA, that's like 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, traffic.
Yeah. We've talked about training together a few times. And then every single time, like, you're like, you're not good enough to train with me. So every time I kind of feel bummed out. So
I know, man. You're dope, man. Dude, like, I see your fights and you too. You're dope. But, man, I think about the drive. I get the map quest. I'm like, man, that's far. I mean, an excuse. So.
It's far. It is far. But you're actually one of those guys that, because I've always liked you, and I've always known you've been a very, very tough competitor. You've always been someone that I've wanted to train with.
It's
weird because we are close, but California is one of those places, like, close is not what you think close is.
I mean, California's big, man, you know?
Yeah.
It's small.
Yeah.
Is that like Hawaii? All across the whole state, you know?
Yeah. So damn. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, Dave. My question is.
Oh, no, no. So, and going back to my original question of coming from such a traditional route of mixed martial arts and martial arts itself, getting black belts in multiple areas and being a study and being a student of the game, how'd you get tapped for The Ultimate Fighter? How'd you get involved with the television show?
Oh, yeah. I was Jeremy Williams, Apex Jiu-Jitsu, and he knew the producers and stuff like that. And then, he talked to the producers. He said he had a guy named Nam. And they bought me a ticket to Las Vegas. I went out there, the interviews. And then I guess they liked me. I got a call back. And, the call back. Nobody knew the call back. I didn't know what was gonna happen. And if I knew it, it was the first show. We had no idea. Nobody knew what was going on. And this was the best stuff. And I was the fighter.
And being a part of that experience, because once again, I had this conversation with Gabe all day long, where I think reality TV is shit. I don't like reality TV, like kind of like the trying to make drama and blah blah blah. It's very, very like, you know, it goes for the lowest common denominator, and it really is just kind of like I think trash television, where you know you have to like pivot and you have to like go down this narrow road and like a slippery slope in order to get to the fights. What was the process like? Was it like a shock to you being this traditional martial artist and this martial artist of great respect? Was it like kind of like a shock to you being a part of a reality TV show, or what was your experience like?
Oh yeah, I was fine with it. My friend, school, my community look bad. So I did the best I can. Exposure. Try not to let these guys get too angry. You know, I try to represent the way the martial artists on television. I did the best I can.
Awesome. Gabe, what was your question, by the way?
Hold on a second. There we go. First off, we got a question from on Facebook. Tonight's Logan Paul versus Mayweather fight. Who do you have?
Come on. Right?
I mean, that's the question that's being asked. It's ridiculous. One of my students said that his roommate put $250 on Logan Paul. And I said, he should have just burned the money. It would have been better. Like, honestly, you'd feel better about it if you just took the money and burned it. You feel better about yourself.
That's a lot of money, man.
$250. That's a good amount of money. Like, dude, I get like putting maybe $20 or something like that, but like you would feel better taking the money and just lighting it on fire. Like,
the $250, a guy wears like what, $10, $50 an hour or $15 an hour. Dude, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Some would say just buying the pay per view, you should do the same thing. Just burn the money.
Just punch yourself in the face. If you're buying that pay per view, grab your fist, hold it with your other hand as tight as you can and pull it back, and then let go and just punch yourself right in the mouth over and over again, like 5 times. Make it 6 just to make sure.
I don't support illegal streaming whatsoever, because when someone illegally streams a UFC event or a Bellator event, you're essentially robbing my buddies. You're essentially taking money out of their family's pockets, and I completely don't condone illegal streaming. But when it comes to the Paul brothers, you know, I kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, illegal links, send it to everybody. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Unfucking-believable.
Here's a question that I have. Because I've known you for a long time, okay? I mean, long time is relative, right? But do you feel that there's been any adverse side effects from fighting for you?
You know, I haven't, but you know, people say I talk funny, but I'm cool with it. You know, and like, I just try to take what people say to me to heart. I just, whatever, you know, I'm gonna go on my day, do what I like, you know, I feel fine.
Okay, I mean, like, because honestly, like all BS aside, we talked, it's been about a year ago, and I think you just got done with a run, and you didn't sound the same as when we originally talked years ago. I could, this interview is actually making me like, oh dude, like you are talking different than you did even 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's from fighting, or do you feel like that's just progression of life?
I'm not sure. Okay. I wouldn't know because you know, I fought. I'm not sure how I would talk if I didn't fight, you know? So you know, it is what it is. You know, I told myself, you know, I didn't want to live my life here. Like, I don't want to live my life not doing what makes me happy, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm going to die, look stupid. For the rest of my life, I'm not care what people say about me. I'm gonna do what makes me happy.
I respect the hell out of that.
And I'm
absolutely not asking the question in a disrespectful way whatsoever. I respect you immensely, dude. I care about you, not like we're best friends or anything like it, but I care about you in the respect that you've been in the trenches as long as I have. Actually longer, because you fought in 01, I fought in 02. I definitely agree with that. Like, dude, do you and do what makes you happy, and you know what? Go out on your shield.
Yeah, it's seriously like I don't live scared. I won't live my life doing what people tell me to do. I won't live my life like, you know, let people get to me, like, you know, get angry or be scared to do what makes me happy. I'm gonna do me, you know. People don't like it, or people, I'm stupid, whatever. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's my life. You know, I'm gonna do what makes me happy. So, when I die, I'm not happy.
And you and Gabe shared that, you know, that, you know, that generation where you guys were fighting. Not for Facebook clout, not for, because we talked about the Paul brothers and everything like that, but you guys were actually fighting in that generation where not a lot of people were watching. You were fighting, you know, these fights, King of the Cage and everything, where it wasn't a huge, huge audience. It wasn't, you know, ESPN covering it. It wasn't owned by publicly traded companies. You guys were fighting just to test yourselves, and you weren't fighting in front of audience. You were fighting because you guys were fighters. And, you know, like, it speaks volumes. And I tell Gabe this all the time. It speaks volumes of yourself as a mixed martial artist. And the fundamental difference between your generation, you and Gabe's generation, and everybody else is you guys fought because you guys were battle-tested fucking warriors. And you didn't do it for any other reason but to be fighters. You know, I respect the hell out of you. You know, exactly what you said. But, you know, is there anything left to prove? I think, you know, King of Pancras. You're a Ultimate Fighter veteran. You fought in the UFC. You fought everywhere. I mean, is there anything left to prove? You already proved everything.
No, I've nothing to prove to anyone. I didn't prove to myself. I'm going to continue. I'm doing this, you know, because is that how I started? I did martial arts. I love martial arts. I started fighting. And I'm just going to do the best I can, continue to fight until I really feel tired or I don't want to do it anymore. You know, I can't compete, fight, or internationally. You know, I still want to train, still want to exercise, still want to, you know, be on my feet, toes.
Dude, you run a lot. I like way more. I run with my dogs in the morning for about a mile to 2 miles just to get them some exercise. You're doing like 10 miles a day, my man. Like you are still putting in the road work. It's impressive.
Yeah, thanks, Gino. You know, gotta stay healthy. Gotta stay young, you know.
Yeah, man. I every time like you put a Instagram thing up, I'm like, dude, man, I'm still getting after it. I love it.
You know, even if I don't fight anymore, you know, I still want to exercise and stay healthy, you know.
Not have of course.
Very, like eat clean, live a healthy life. Like the Diaz brothers, you know, like I don't think they fight that often, but you know, they live a clean life.
Now, so speaking of life. You don't talk about it very much, but you're a dad. You have a little fan.
That's correct. I do. I'm a dad. Serious.
Dude, that's amazing. And, like, you don't talk very much, but like whenever I see a picture of him, like it warms my heart. How is fatherhood, and how old is your son, and how has that changed who you are as a man?
Well, you know, I definitely got to step it up. You know, life is great, guy. You know, I don't know, I feel happier. You know, I feel more motivated to work, motivated. You know, I want to be, a better role model for my child. You know, life's good.
How old is he?
Maybe two next week.
Oh, wow. That's yes. My daughter turns 2 in September. So that's awesome, man. It's amazing. You don't talk very much, but I also understand that because like even with social media, like I have separate accounts which are for family than versus, you know, for people. And I can respect that you want to keep that separate.
Is it, I try to keep my personal, like, private, you know, on my social media. Wife and my kid has their own stuff, you know. So, but I don't want anyone attacking them, you know. So I try to keep my personal, like, private.
Yeah, smart.
So my friend asked me a question, Nam, and you don't have to elaborate on this, but there's a video that was leaking around the internet that I actually commented on, and he reminded me to ask you about this. What happened between you and the Kung Fu Master with the death touch? And you guys apparently, what the hell happened? I he brought that up, and I had to remind you and ask about it.
It's crazy, this guy. I was sparring, you know, I was doing 10 rounds with one of my students. We were sparring. And he brought his friend, that cool guy. Because that couple guy wasn't a fighter, and my student brought me in to show what sparring is. And dude, all that he was doing was talking smack. Like, man, I would have done this, I would have done that, and she done this, she done that. Like, dude, what are you? I'll break your face, you don't know? No. Dude, that ain't gonna work. Like, I told him, that's not gonna work. It's not gonna work in the street or. Like, dude, no, you're talking nonsense, that's crazy. And like, we just talking back and forth. And like, hey, I'm asking, you want to spar, practice? He goes, no, I only spar bare knuckle. I'm like, what? No, I don't spar bare knuckle. I just want to practice. I don't want to get hurt. And then like, he looked at me like, oh, I guess you're scared. No, I'm not scared. Oh, you know what? Here, I know if you hit them with your bare fist, it's dangerous. I'll break my fist. You know what? I told him, like, hey, I wear glove. You go bare knuckle. I'll still go. We'll still spar. Let's go. You know, and then it was a Monday. We met on a Thursday, and that's what happened. Yeah.
Now, were the rules no takedowns, no ground?
Only striking. Yeah.
But so he's talking all this smack, like he's saying, like, you know, this and that. But then this is funny. I had this client that came in, and he was saying that. Same kind of principle, like you know, like what if I do this, I do that, you know, are you gonna be able to? I go, look, we can do whatever you want to do, like, whatever type of parameters you want to set, we can set the parameters. And he immediately takes ground fighting out, you know, striking on the ground out. He takes kicks out. He basically wants to box with takedowns, and that's about all he's willing to do. But he can throw elbows. And eye gouge.
Oh, eye gouge, really?
Well, the thing is, I never let him get close enough to eye gouge me. And like when we got close, I would just dump him on his head. And he had no. But so this guy, only standing, where was he allowed to do death touch and eye gouges and groin shots and all that stuff as well?
Oh, yeah. So we said no. So that was a part of the rule. Because it had to be like a community rule as in like eye gouging. No cooking. No,
because you were afraid.
Yeah, well, I told him, because I told him, look, if you think I got me, I'm gonna pick you and break your neck, man. Yeah. You better not. like groin shot. I said no groin shot. If your hand is anywhere near my balls, I'm gonna pick you and break your goddamn neck. You dude, you've been not hit me in the balls. I'm gonna be pissed off. Screw the rules. You've been pretty fair, right? Strike, you know, and like if your finger brain, I get my eye. I'm like, oh my god, don't do it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things when they talk about, like, what about eye gouging and groin shots and elbows and headbutts? I'm like, we can do all that stuff, but understand that, like, now you're putting me in a position where I'm going to really, really, really hurt you badly.
Yeah. Like,
if you allow, we can play whatever rules you want to play, but if you want to put dirty tricks into it, I have a skill set and I can do those dirty tricks really, really well. Trust me.
I told this guy, no. If it's a street fight, I kill you. Like, all right, it's cool. Let's go. No time limit. He goes, no. We go 3 rounds, 2 minutes each. No, like that. You told me a street fight. There's no time limit. A street fight. Let's go. No time limit. And then we agreed. I think 4 2-minute rounds, 4-3. I forgot. It was short. It was quick. You know, it was last 2 hours.
Now, when it was over, was he respectful after the fact?
He was still getting his sense back. I don't think he knew where he was, you know. So I didn't want to rub it in his face. But even afterwards, I told the whole crowd to applaud him for came coming here. You know, I try to be respectful. I try to be a good role model, you know, and don't rub his face. I don't want people to say, oh, man, I want people to be an artist. You know, I don't want people to be a bully, you know.
And as a traditional martial artist and coming from the good old days of mixed martial arts, and Gabe and I talk about this all the time and actually had discussions about this. Now that the MMA climate has changed towards, in order to make money in the sport, you have to trash talk. You have to be disrespectful. You have to, you know, talk a lot of shit online and everything. Like, as an MMA veteran, like, what's your feelings about that?
I mean, it is what it is. Like, you know, yeah, I get it when I'm Conor McGregor. I like when we talk back. You know, it gets me excited. Man, I'm not that type of guy to talk smack and, like, you know, so that's probably why I'm in the fight. You know, I don't talk enough.
But you're obviously the most and this goes back where I think that trash talking in mixed martial arts is just lazy. You know, you can sell tickets. Kazushi Sakuraba, again, I talk about this all the time. Kazushi Sakuraba was my hero growing up. Yeah, and the reason why I related so much to you and why I liked you the most in that season with Josh Koscheck and George St. Pierre is because you were so unbelievably likable. I was drawn to watching you on the show just for how likable you are. So I personally, and you could disagree with me, but I think, you know, if people trash talk and they're a great fighter, you know, I think it's just lazy to sell tickets, you know? Like, I think people can be likable and still sell tickets and draw an audience. You know,
I
think that.
I think so. I try to be my goal is try to be a role model, try to be respectful, try to show the way the martial artist. You know, I think, but I guess you like it. It's more exciting when people trash, you know, say they're going to beat them up, you know, be violent and stuff. Like, I don't know.
I just find that silly. Like, sorry, my dogs are getting it's always silly, like, when people, like get in your face and, dude, we're gonna fight, like especially the weigh-ins and stuff. Like, you understand? Tomorrow we're going to fight. You don't have to get in my face. You're not intimidating me. I signed a contract to fight you.
Exactly. Come on, man. I agree with you on that. I agree with you 100% on that one. Yeah, get in my face and look tough in front of everybody doesn't mean nothing. You know,
we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this no matter what. You talking smack to me and trying to be tough means absolutely nothing. Because I agreed to fight you already. It's not like, you know, it'd be different if you're trying to get me to sign a contract and I was terrified. But as soon as I say yes, I'm going to fight you, understand that I'm agreeing. Yes, I not only am I agreeing to fight you, but I know, at least in my mind, that I can beat you.
Exactly.
And right now in, like, UFC, Bellator 1, what fighters excite you? And especially because you got to be a fan of this. Obviously, you're a fighter, but you got to be a fan of this too. Like, what fighters really excite you right now that are making headway in any of the major promotions? And PFL too.
PFL. Oh, Bellator. We have UFC. We have
One.
Sanya.
Rizin.
Oh, Rizin.
Rizin. Yeah.
Who's doping right now? I can't think. In one, there's a girl. Her name's Hirata. It's Suki. Hirata. Or she's in one. Hirata Suki. She's dope. UFC probably Arasanya. Bellator. Who's doping Bellator right now? Who's killing Bellator? I can't think. PFL. Who's in PFL right now?
They just signed
Verdugo. Clarissa Shields. Clarissa Shields.
Oh yeah. Who else? PFL's got they just signed Pettis. They did a whole signing of UFC guys.
The younger Pettis.
Well, I think Sergio won a title in Bellator.
He beat Juan Archuleta. It's a very, very tough. Juan's tough, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I see some of his fights. You know, I mean, I don't know, but he's pretty good. Yeah, Juan is good.
I want Japanese mixed martial arts to make a resurgence. I think the biggest heartbreaking moment.
Yeah, man, I love Japanese MMA.
Yeah, and I was a Pride fan. Like, I was a UFC fan, but I was more of a Pride fan than UFC. And I, you know, Ryzen's at the cusp, but they're not really there yet. But I would love the resurgence of Japanese mixed martial arts. Back to Pride, back to the pageantry, and back to all that good stuff.
Yeah, I that'd be great. If Ryzen come up. Back then, it was Pride, FC, it went Dynamite. Those were the good old days, man. I loved it. They were fun fights. Those are freak show fights there.
Here's a question for you. As a former King of Pancras, what do you think about Pancras coming to the U.S. and having shows here now?
Is it really?
Go ahead, David.
They just have one in California. They're going to have one in Florida. Essentially, they're having events here in the United States now. And trying to, like, go old school back to, yeah.
That's dope. I'm in a phone call. I mean, get a free ticket, dang it. You get a popcorn and soda.
Well, I think that's kind of strange to think that you have a former King of Pancras in California and they didn't call you to at least be like, hey, want to come to the event?
Really, right? We screw them. Oh, my God. Oh, man.
I'm sure.
Are you willing to travel to Tampa?
No. Yeah. I got school. I got kids. I got a wife. It's got to be LA. Not California. It's got to be somewhere in LA. You know, LA always.
No.
It's good times, though. It definitely reminds me of like Pancras in 92 and 93. And was that like, and you know, being able to fight in Pancras and you became a king of Pancras and going to Japan, wasn't that like, okay, I didn't get the fight for Pride, but at least I got the fight for a league that happened and started way before the UFC did, or in the same year, but still beat the UFC. Like, was that like a notch in your belt saying, got to do that? Like, being a fan of Japanese martial arts?
Yeah. Pancras is older than Pride. It's legendary, you know? So, you know, guys like Ken Shamrock, Frank Shamrock, you know, they were kings as well. So, you know, yeah, for me, it's an honor, you know? It's something to say, I can tell my kids about, you know, and like tell my students. So I'm very proud of that.
And being a coach, what do you look for? And, like, obviously you're going to be teaching the next level of martial arts and people that might be pursuing mixed martial arts as a career. Like, what do you look for as a coach and, you know, as somebody that's been through the system and been through the game where it was so hard to break through and make headway? Like, what do you look for in a student or a mixed martial artist looking to make this a career?
Passion and drive. Like, as hard as it is, like, you gotta find a way to do it. Like, it's easier now. Back then, like, man, like, one alpha male, you gotta work. You gotta work and you gotta fight. This is the grind, man. How to play, you know?
Very true. Fuck yeah, man. So we're about to wrap this up like a Christmas present. We're running out of time. But Gabe, do you have any final questions for you, buddy?
Are you happy overall, Nam?
I'm very happy, yeah.
Good.
Thanks, Gabe. Thank you, sir.
No, man, I think it's important that we need to know if we're happy or not, man. That's an important question that's not asked enough.
Oh, wait, I have a question. Are you watching the fights tonight?
Am I going to watch the fights tonight?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Honestly, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to go play with my daughter and pretend like that's not even happening.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope, man, please, I do not hope when it's so cocky, it's not. Please don't let that happen.
I hope not.
Please, no, I'll cry. No.
I love you. I love Showtime, but I will be illegally streaming this because it's not worth $50. I apologize.
What time is it on?
I don't know. What time is it on?
It's 5:40 here.
It's 8:39 here. What time is it on, fam?
It's 6.
Yeah.
6 p.m. It starts.
Oh. Oh, boy. Can't wait.
All right,
man.
All right,
peace out, Nam.
I apologize to our listeners. My dogs decided that they wanted to also get in a fight.
Congratulations to you, by the way, a two-time dog owner. You now have two dogs in the house, Mr. Frost.
Two Dogo Argentinos, which are animals that are just, yeah. I love them both, but they're constantly testing me.
Yeah. Absolutely. No one wants to test Mr. Gig. And now, further proof of that.
Damn, look at that. Gig.
Look Ooh, at me. God
damn. That looks look good me. On you. The belt looks good.
Yeah, so we're going to wrap this up like a Christmas present, and we're going to have a big shout out to our sponsors. Oh, by the way, thank you for reminding me, tomorrow. We had to reschedule Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock will be coming on tomorrow with Sam Shoemaker. So Sam Shoemaker is going to be the guest host for tomorrow, and we can't wait to have Ken Shamrock back on the show. This is going to be the second time. And we're also going to have Zane Frazier, UFC One fighter, UFC veteran, is going to be on the show next week. I am hyped to the tits to talk to Zane Frazier. Goddamn! And the show is brought to you by Kajija MMA and Fitness, located in beautiful Tarzana, California. If you want to train with Mr. Gabe, it's beautiful. And if you want to talk and train with Mr. Gabe and train with the best former four-time world champion and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, go over to Kajija MMA and also buy a shirt too for $25 and ask him to autograph it and say that Gabe Potter sent you, biggest fanboy on the planet. And our other sponsor, Drager Nutrition. Go on BCAA. All right, no, that's not the website. Sorry. DragerNutrition.com. Buy the best in supplements from Drager Nutrition, one of our great sponsors. And, you know, it works wonders. So.
Works for me.
God damn. All right, Mr. Gabe, final words, good sir, for the four-time world champion.
Don't watch nonsense. Stop making stupid people famous. And live your best life.
Gabe, you're the fucking man. And I expect that shirt to be autographed, please, sir. So I can frame it.
Nope. I'm not going to ruin a perfectly good shirt.
Come on! I want your autograph. Come on, Ben.
We'll talk about it later.
Send him an autograph cup.
There you go.
Perfect. Matt, I don't know what's for the producer.
Dringer.
I'm more Dringer. And everybody, if you're going to watch tonight, illegally stream it and also support TMT and support Floyd Mayweather, please. I fucking hate the Paul brothers.
Or do like I do.
Don't support Mayweather is not someone to support either, but yeah, okay, sure, why not?
Touche.
All right.
Boys, from the Fight Mixer, signing off. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, peace.
Perfect.